Welcome to another episode of Sitting Ringside. This is episode number 124. I am your host, Robert Villa. And as always with me, my buddies, my co-hosts, David Rodriguez, Mark Andrew Miller, and Rudy Lara. How's it going, fellas?
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody out there.
Yep. That's everybody that's Irish today, that's non-Irish.
Yeah. And if you're not wearing the green.
And if you're not celebrating St. Patrick's Day, get the fuck out of here.
and
if you're not wearing green, you got to pinch yourself really fucking hard. So, Roberto, yeah. Mark,
I already did that.
Pinch yourself. I'm wearing now green. In front of everybody.
I got pinch muscles. Yourself.
Pinch yourself. And wear your green thong. Fuck off.
There you go. Well, we need to see it or pinch yourself.
No, you're not seeing my green thong. I'd rather pinch myself there.
Anyways, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Yes, yes. Well, we have an awesome show tonight like we do every Thursday night. But guys, before we get started, let's pay our respects to a wrestling legend, WWE Hall of Famer, Scott Hall, also known as Razor Ramon. He passed away at 63. He suffered multiple heart attacks. Didn't make it. He survived a little bit after they took the life support off of him. Just as a true champ, he fought, continued fighting until he took his last breath. So let's just do a 10-second silence to pay our respects for Mr. Scott Hall. Right on. Well, rest in peace, my friend. You were very loved. Yeah.
We were all big wrestling fans growing up. I know Mark, Rudy, Rob, you too, man. Yep. What was your favorite memorable Razor Ramon, Magnum Scott Hall, like, moment? You know what I mean? Because, like, man, iconic guy in the wrestling world and just loved by everybody, man. So
probably the ladder match with Shawn Michaels and when he showed up on Nitro.
Yeah, I think the ladder match, that was fucking epic.
The first five-star match in WWF history right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, Mark, that's good job on that, man, because that's something that nobody's going to ever forget. Yeah. Is that ladder match with Shawn Michaels, because, you know, Shawn Michaels, man, he likes to bring it. So, you know, it's two guys that are very charismatic and just love to put everything on the line. Putting on a spectacular ladder match like they did, I mean, come on. You can't argue with that.
Yeah, Scott Hall, Razor Ramon. Razor is the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, in my opinion. You know, the ladder match is known for the ladder match because of Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart. I know Tommy D and them guys at Chopheads are talking wrestling, and they'll talk about a lot of old school matchups and so. But yeah, shout out to them guys over there doing their thing at Chopheads. But yeah, unfortunate news of Scott Hall, and like the artwork for the week for the show. This show is dedicated to Scott Hall and the history that he created in the WWE, the WWF, the WCW, and like you said, Mark, walking out with coming out of the crowd, the original member of the NWO.
Razor Ramon.
The first guaranteed contract, the first guaranteed money contract in wrestling was him. Mm-hmm. And he got paid a lot of money. And then Nash came, and then
Hulk.
The rest is history.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, there's just so many memories of what he has done for the sport, the doors that he has opened for a lot of upcoming wrestlers and even wrestlers that were already in the WWE, or, you know, back then it was the WWF. You know, he opened those doors for all these youngsters. You know, like you said, you know, he was the first to bring the ladder match. The next, you know, it was the laters, the ladder, what was it? The ladder tables and chairs. Yeah, I mean, it was all because of him. It was all what his vision was with that type of match.
He should have been champion.
Yeah. And one of my favorite matchups is, of course, Bret Hart, one of my all-time favorites. When Bret fought Razor Ramon, that was for the belt. But at that time,
Royal Rumble.
Bret Hart was the king of the WWF then. And, Razor Ramon just right there, always at the top, putting on a show, man. A Monday didn't go by back in the day where me and my cousin Dave were so watching Nitro, watching the Thursday Night Thunder, NWO showing up when they did their NWO show, Black and White. Legendary times, man. Wrestling is still pretty damn big, but at that time, man, it wasn't a bigger moment than the NWO walking out fucking 20 feet. Dennis Rodman, everybody, you know what I mean?
Back then, wrestling was fun. Very entertaining and very fun. Yes, it was very fun. It was just something that in that era of Scott Hall era, it was, you don't see that anymore.
Bro, did you know he came out on Jerry Springer? Jerry Springer brought Razor Ramon out for an 11-year-old kid who got married to a 10-year-old and gave them some good advice and invited them to WrestleMania. What the fuck?
Never do that. Yeah, that's a good one.
Hey, so that's weird, bro. Our guest is trying to get in.
Oh, okay, let's get him on. So let's wait till our guest jumps on.
That is so weird, bro. I have the episode queued up right here. I want to watch it in a little bit.
Oh man, that's hilarious. Hold on.
That is hilarious, bro.
Mr. Steve Williams, are you able to hear us?
Yeah, I am. How are you?
Awesome. We're doing great. Let me do a quick introduction. We have Steve Williams, the CEO of Pillow Fighting. Welcome to the show. Yeah, welcome to the show, sir. We really do appreciate that you're taking time out of your busy schedule. I believe you're in Brazil, right?
Yeah, I'm in Sao Paulo right now.
Man, what time is it right now over there?
Oh, let's see. It's almost 11 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
We're an hour ahead of you guys.
Okay. All right. Right on. Well, yeah, let's get on with with this whole concept of your promotion. I mean, how did all this come to fruition?
Yeah, it's really kind of a crazy story because it's a sort of it started out really as a byproduct of an original idea that I had to develop a fight truck. And if you go to fighttruck.com, you'll see it's a semi with a full octagon ring built in. It's a transformer. So this thing is all part of was designed to be part of a streaming show where we drive around the country, you know, pull over in a parking lot somewhere, unfold like a, you know, transformer does.
This is cool.
And the crowd would come running. You know, I had limited seating, about 110 seats, electric vehicles, the follow vehicles, the whole entourage coming through town with all the flashing lights. You know, we're going to have a big fight. Our slogan was when the light is on, the fight is on. So you'd have like this, it was like the Krispy Kreme cream donut light, you know, when you see that red light, you know, there's some fresh ones waiting for you. It was like that. And so that's the idea. I didn't do it. I showed it to my brother and he said, look, you're going to have trouble with all the laws. You know, you can't go to all the states and run MMA fights because of the licensing or the, you know, illegality of it. And he said, why don't you do pillow fights? You know, no one's doing pillow fights. It's got like a, you know, it's more nonviolent niche. And, first I thought it was a stupid idea. Because I think all his ideas are stupid.
My producer was putting on the screen the fight truck. That, my friend, is fucking badass. I've never seen that before.
You should turn up the volume on it when you run it. I mean, it's just that the whole thing is really cool. Maybe someday, when PFC gets big enough, we'll actually do that with PFC.
Nice.
But it's about $1.5 million to make it. So that's going to come a little bit later, but that's kind of where it started. And so I hate it when people ask me, hey, what, you know, I just start this because there's this long, bloviated story about, you know, how we started pillow fighting. And but that's the story.
I got to say, I watched it and I thoroughly enjoyed the event. My wife was like, what are you watching? And I said, I'm watching piddle fighting, baby. And it was fun. You know, I like stuff like that. I used to watch X-Arm. I was a big fan of X-Arm. That was extreme arm wrestling. People just wiped the shit out of each other. I love stuff like that, man. 3-on-3.
Yeah, it's crazy that our last event had all these characters in it. I mean, our fighters are characters. The ringmaster, you know, was his tux was too tight, and he made all these funny faces, and he was a phenomenal ring announcer. Our ring girls were phenomenal. They also had just really everybody in that show was just special. It looked like something like we planned it that way. We planned some of it. I mean, from a standpoint, you know, we wanted to pick good fighters and, you know, the best ring announcer we could find and the best commentators. But something happened there with some magic and it all came together. So, and then we had some crazy moments like the TKO that TJ had with Mike Trujillo, which in pillow fighting, we never thought it would ever happen. You know, basically first round, you know, how's that happening in the first round of a pillow fight? Then Reggie Newsom had the flying pillow and got pummeled by Marcus Perez while the pillow was the pink pillow, by the way, you know, flying in the air seemed like forever. And the whole time Marcus was smacking him in the head with the pillow, and that ended up in a scuffle. So it's amazing.
That is freaking awesome, because so when Pillow Fighting 1 came out, and I announced it on the website because I'm friends with the guys at Fight TV, right? And yeah. And then that same week we had our podcast, and I was telling the guys, I was like, yeah, pillow fighting. And they're like, what's pillow fighting? And I told them, like, look, you gotta go look at pillow fighting, go to the YouTube channel, check out the article, and you guys are gonna love it. And sure enough, man, Rudy, you know, he became a fan. Mark and David, we all just became fans of pillow fighting. And it's gotten big, right? I mean, since it's started, I mean, you guys are now going international.
Yeah, I mean, we went international almost right away. We did, we called PFC 1 in Delray Boxing Center. Then we did PFC 2. Well, PFC 1 went pretty well. So we were really encouraged. We had one video that went viral, and that gave us the motivation to quickly do PFC 2. We're like, all right, let's keep this going. PFC 2, there's a guy that owns SFB Combat in Brazil who I knew, I met at a few years earlier in an MMA match, Titan Fight Club match in Extreme Action Park in Fort Lauderdale a couple years earlier. And really nice guy. He lives in Miami, but he owns SFB Combat in Sao Paulo. So they have a fight show twice a month in Sao Paulo. It's, you know, hardcore MMA.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I know them.
You know, pretty imagine good. Sao Paulo is, you know, one of the biggest MMA markets in the world, and everybody in Brazil from birth learns jiu-jitsu. So, you know, the whole country is basically a black belt, which is incredible. You don't want to cause any trouble in Brazil, you know.
No, you don't.
I mean, you'll be restrained quickly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so actually, I called a friend of mine, Antonio Martins, who introduced me to David Hudson, is the guy's name, and I told Antonio, hey, we're gonna have a pillow fight, you know, up here, and I'll see if David will come up, you know, and to my surprise, he actually showed up, right in the middle of pretty much in the middle of PFC 2, and he's looking around, and he actually sees, you know, half of our fighters were his fighters in Brazil before they, you know, before they came to, you know, to live in Florida. And so, you know, he was all excited, and he was talking to all the fighters. And then we noticed, you know, as the fights were going on, which were actually excellent fights, he was, you know, recording and FaceTiming or Facebook Living, you know, to his followers, our fights. So from then on, you know, we started communicating, and he invited us down to Brazil to do, we did three events. I think we did about eight fights in those three events in Sao Paulo in October. The whole month of October, I was actually here, you know, working on those fights. It was quite an experience. I've been doing business in Brazil for the past 30 years, so. I'm really familiar with it. Anyway, but not on the MMA side.
That's awesome, man. That's what a ride from PFC 1 to PFC 2. And then now you guys are doing these little mini events, right? And, you know, for the people that are watching, we have also the VP here right now joining us, Mr. Steven. How's it going, friend? Finally get to see each other.
It is fine. I feel like I've known you forever, but you know, we got a lot ahead of us together as well. So we're looking forward to it, man. Yep. Great to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yeah, for sure, man. So what's next? What do you guys have anything planned for PFC 3? Is that something that you guys can announce right now?
Well, we just did. Well, what we call PFC 3 was the pound down.
Okay.
Yeah, what's coming up next, we have, it's crazy. I'll tell you what's crazy is. So we've got, we just did two more fights down here in, two more events. We did six fights down in Sao Paulo Saturday. And what we're doing is we're sprinkling our fights inside other MMA, you know, events. So, you know, we're mixing it up. You know, some of these MMA events, they, at least down here, they'll put they'll have some jujitsu, and then they'll do MMA, and then they'll, you know, they'll even do boxing. So now you got some pillow fights mixed in there, just kind of introducing the people, bringing a different audience. But yeah, our next event, April 2nd, is International Pillow Fight Day. And we're going to do something big. We're actually not sure exactly what it's going to be, but we're going to do something that's going to be pretty cool. It's either going to be a massive pillow fight, you know, in New York, or, you know, we're going to do something somewhere in the world.
Nice.
To take advantage of that and kind of claim it for our own. If you Google that one, you'll see International Pillow Fight Day. It's really big in Asia. You'll see, you know, thousands of people beating the crap out of each other with, you know, bedroom pillows. So we want to get our pink and blue ripstop, you know, pillows out there and kind of claim that day for ours, and put on a really interesting fight, you know, much more interesting than you'll see from 10,000 Japanese school kids.
that to me is freaking amazing, man. Because I was talking to Steve, you know, it was a yesterday or 2 days ago.
Who knows, man?
I know, we've been talking almost every day.
I don't know the last time I slept, man. It's been busy, but that's not a bad. I'm aware, we have no complaints, you know.
Right.
But yeah, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good. I was telling him about these other promotions. You know, there's Karjitsu, there's Foam Booth Boxing, and Rudy's favorite, X-Arm. And, you know, and the other co-hosts, you know, David and Mark, they love that 3-on-3 or the 6-on-6 or whatever, right? And then now you guys are bringing a pillow fight league. I mean, who would have thought in this lifetime that we would actually see a real promotion where two people try to beat the shit out of each other with pillows?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, bedroom pillows, we all did it. It's the one sport that everyone in the world, you know, did
exactly,
or does.
Exactly.
So you sleep on a pillow every night. You know, it's like, you know, you're probably looking at one now. And then to actually use that for a fight. And it's the only fighting implement probably ever made by mankind that, it wasn't designed to be a fighting implement, but it became an obvious one quickly, especially with kids. But it's the only thing you could think of that you could hit somebody with full on with all your might, or even your dad hitting you. And then, you know, it stings a little bit, but if, you know, a couple seconds later, it's okay. And you're laughing about it, and you're swinging back at the other guy. So it's a special magical thing. Now, our pillows, we did a lot of experimenting with our pillows. We've got the lighter pillows for kids with the smaller, like I'd say 2/3 size pillow that are for kids, for our PFC kids program, which we think is going to be huge. Also, it's a whole other program. But then we go all the way up to the X pillow, which we've never used before. And the PFC X would absolutely knock you out. So
they take it to another level. You know.
Yeah.
I think we pride ourselves a little bit on, you know, the fact that we kind of, you know, have this, you know, PFC is so much, you know, you get the thrill of like a hand-to-hand combat, right? But you don't have any blood. And once you experience your first fight in person, I got to tell you, you know, and I enjoy boxing and MMA. There's something in the air, the energy that you've never experienced before, you know, but X is going to, I don't know, maybe we'll see some blood with those. But yeah, as for now, you know, we can at least pride ourselves. We're really, you know, we're very proud that we, you know, Steve has created a product, a brand, a sports league that the world's never seen before that is, you know, family friendly, it's agnostic, and it's relatable. You know, I think you go out on the street and, you know, speak to 100 people, I'm going to say a large majority of those people are going to kind of light up with these really great memories as well. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, and you know, you bring a good point there. You know, you have all these adults and bringing their kids to you know, your events, and it just brings back memories of them when they were kids in their house beating the crap out of each other with their siblings, cousins, yeah, friends with pillows, you know. So that's freaking awesome, man. I love it. I love it.
Hey, you guys have some association with Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, so I work for Ken. I do a lot of his social media as well. I run on some aspect the Valor promotion, Ken Shamrock's Facebook, Instagram, and all of that. So there's a lot of posts that I got to do every day, and so we're ramping up to start pushing the fight card for VBK2. Come April 22nd in Miami.
We actually have him on next week as well, don't we?
Yep. Roberto? We wow. sure do. We got
week Ken too late. On. It would have been a little ironic to have him, you know, March 17th, Ken Shamrock on St. Patty's Day, right?
I know, right? Yeah. You know, I thought about that, but he had other arrangements for tonight, so that's why I had to get him on for next Thursday night, but...
We had Conor McGregor on, but we bumped him because we were gonna have the guys from PFC on, man. Take a hike, Conor.
Well, I have an indirect Ken Shamrock story that fight between Bart Vail and Ken Shamrock. Even to this day, I probably watch it once a month, and it's the most famous fight in all MMA, in my opinion. Rob Albolino, who's one of our VPs of operations, he trained under Bart. And when we were looking for a ring, you know, to do some test fights. And so, you know, Rob said, "Hey, I know Bart Vail, you know," and I didn't know who he was. So he said, "Yeah, look at his video, you know, it was Ken Shamrock versus Bart Vail." And you know, we watched that thing like 100 times. It was just crazy. But so he called Bart up, and Bart said, "Yeah, come on over, and you know, I've got a couple of girls that, you know, you could try it out with. We get them in the ring." He had two girls that he had trained for like 15 years. They were both black belts. And so we walked in, and then Bart didn't really understand, I think, what we were doing. You know, he just kind of heard, "Hey, we want to do a fight in the ring." And so I walked in with a pink and a blue pillow in my hand. And you go into Bart's dojo, and he's got, like, you know, every wall in the dojo is covered with these ancient fighting implements, you know, from the last, you know, 1,000 years. You know, really serious, you know, samurai swords, and he's, right, you know, like sticks, and he's, you know, I mean, all original stuff. And, you know, just the highest form of, you know, of martial, or I guess, Kenpo karate that mm-hmm. he's, is his level, is it 15th degree. And, anyway, I come walking in there with these two pillows, you know, and he just looks at me like, "Oh, come on," you know? And, he's a big badass guy. I mean, I don't know how old he is. He's probably 65, maybe 68 now. But anyway, so he says, "All right, let's get this over with." And he gives the girls, you know, the pillows, and they started swinging, and almost immediately Bart's like, you know, his whole, you know, attitude changed. He's like, "Whoa, wait a minute, this is really cool." He could see that from the second you put the pillow in your hand, you could swing full on. As hard as you can, and you know, try to take advantage of weakness of your opponent, and so that was a huge advantage, because, you know, and you know, whatever, I mean, almost in all martial arts, right, you go in and you practice, you never really hit anybody full on, unless, you know, you're going to get paid for it, you know, once a year, twice a year, whatever it is. So anyway. he became a convert that day. And that was a great moment for us. And we saw validation.
Nice.
Super, you know, super serious, hardcore guy.
So what goes into the whole pillow making aspect of it?
Well,
Steve's going to take this one away, man.
Yeah. I mean, we bought a lot of pillows and went to Bed Bath & Beyond and we basically bought every, you know, pillow they had. We bought everything that Amazon had, you know, bamboo pillows and, goose down pillows. We ended up, our first pillows were these Bed Bath & Beyond pillows that were about $250 a piece. They were goose down. They weighed about 3.5 pounds. And that's what you see in PFC 1 and PFC 2. Since then, though, we've switched to about an $8 pillow, which is really just kind of a spun lightweight foam. And those pillows only weigh 1.6 pounds. So, and what we did is that the first pillows for a heavyweight, they were good. But for the girls and the kind of average, welterweight, you know, middleweight fighters, by the third round, their arms were getting tired and, the fight would start slowing down. And this was originally a two minute rounds with a minute rest, you know, rest period. We ended up cutting it down to a minute and a half because people couldn't make it through the cardio. Yeah, the cardio was just too intense. And when you compare that to, you know, jiu-jitsu or, you know, just MMA, it's crazy that, wait a minute, you can't make it through, you know, a minute and a half round. I mean, I can go about a minute and a half and I'm spent, you know. So, but, you know, someone who's really in shape, you know, some of these guys, and especially the middleweight on down, that's a big advantage because they're a lot smaller. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm like 240 pounds. So the heavyweights have a hard time getting through that whole minute and a half times three situation.
Who would have thought that you had to be in like a good shape and have the best cardio in the world to be able to fight in pillow fighting?
Dude, you have the best cardio to do anything, Roberto.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about it. It's pillow fighting. You would think that you're holding a pillow that doesn't weigh. I have, and I know it sucks.
Yeah. Oh, so the week after Ken Shamrock, you know, you guys will have two pillows, and you're gonna go fight live. Right? See if you can hack the first round or not. Yeah,
I probably won't make it out of the first round with if I get in a pillow fight with Ken Shamrock. Have you seen that guy lately? Oh man, David, you got anything?
That bell goes off. There's no dancing. There's no dancing in that ring. You know, there might be some acrobatics and some, you know, nice kind of style points and stuff, but no, that bell goes off and they're swinging. They're swinging until, you know, minute 30 for sure. And I think that is what makes it so exciting and engaging as well. You know, you're not waiting around for a punch. You're not waiting around for a kick. I mean, it's headshots all day, man.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, my question was, like, going forward with you guys, like, you're talking about the inception of you guys purchasing everything at Bed Bath & Beyond. Will there be a big core sponsor, like the Sealy, Sattva?
The My Pillow guy.
The Casper, the Copper, yeah.
Well, yeah, I already pulled Bed Bath & Beyond right now on my research tool. So, yeah, I can give it an amount of steam. You know, the money they spent at the store the last few years, I think,
Okay.
I don't know. Steve, you want to take that? That's a good question.
Or maybe the Mattress Mac, you guys can land that.
Yeah. Our first mat actually was designed to look kind of like a mattress, but we ended up kind of going away from that. We didn't want to look too much like a bed and sort of wonky it up. But I will tell you that we just like 2 days ago decided that our next fight, our ring corners are actually going to be pillows with the sponsor, logos on them, landscape, you know, so, you know, they'll really be visible and there'll be pillows. They're going to be pillows in the corner, so we can interchange them, make them they're interchangeable. And then at the end of the fight or the end of the event, you know, the fighters will get them and throw them out in the audience. Everybody gets something to take home. So that'll be a cool part of the show.
So that's amazing.
You guys fine tune your product. You have any intention on getting into the pillow business yourself?
We actually have a pillow factory. No, it's not our factory. Yeah, we have kind of a special relationship with a friend that has a pillow factory in Miami. And so, you know, the price is right. They've been really, really helpful, actually helping us develop because they have engineers basically that can design the foam, or they just know what foam, you know, the right thickness, the hardness, the weight. And so there's a lot of science that actually went into what we're using now.
There's a lot of science that actually goes into pillows and most people wouldn't even comprehend. I'm sure you guys have gone to shop for pillows. It's hard. Even shopping for a bed is hard. It's a pain in the ass to find the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure is. Pain in the back if you don't get the right one, right?
Oh, yeah. It is.
You know, I think Steven and the team really did a great job with, you know, all those years, months, whatever, you know, really, you know, purchasing pillows, testing them out, because at the end of the day, the core is we're a real fighting sport. But it's entertaining as well, mm-hmm. right? You want to entertain your audiences both around the ring and watching streaming, right? So, you know, even just ensuring with the fabric that it pops on camera, you know, when they take a hit, it's a little bit louder than it should, you know, and just fine-tuned points, but it makes it, you know, they did an incredible job to bring it to this point where, oh my gosh, and you notice that, you know, whether you're in front of a screen or whether you're in front of the other ropes, you know, so yeah.
That's awesome, man. That's amazing. It's so with your promotion, I'm sure you guys have your own, like, you know, you're gonna put a heavyweight against a lightweight, right? So y'all do you guys have weight classes or anything like that, or it's just
there's no so far there's no weight class. We did do no, like if you see that,
excellent.
If you see the fight between the two jokers, Marcus Perez is a welterweight, you know, and the other joker is like flyweight, and mm-hmm. you know, clearly Marcus Perez won, but you know, the other guy was super fast, and so we don't really see a direct correlation between size. Arm length is good. We've had a few people that were just monster heavyweights, UFC fighters that fought much smaller guys and they lost. I mean, we've had a few UFC fighters that lost, you know, they lost at pillow fighting, you know, just because they're in UFC. And actually the guys they fought were not even MMA fighters. You know, they were just guys off the street. You know, one guy has a car cleaning business, you know, and he's got a lot of, he's got a lot of upper, it takes a lot of strength, you know, to wax a car, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's pretty interesting. It's mostly about speed, stamina. And, you know, we see sometimes your heavyweight guys, they have a hard time, you know, they're huffing and puffing by the time mm-hmm. they get to the end, you know?
So what do you think if Francis Ngannou and Henry Cejudo pillow fight? Who
wins? Oh, shit.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty interesting.
Henry would win.
Yeah.
Some of these guys may have some CTE or whatever, but they want to get back in the ring. And we're going to be harvesting all these guys, you know, for pillow fighting. And people will definitely show up to see that.
Now, with fighting, you know, with y'all, do these fighters have like a, you know, a 3-fight or a 4-fight contract, or is it just like a, you know, if they're going to keep continuing, you know, they just call you guys up or you guys call them up, or how does that work? I mean,
yeah, right now we're it's a more loose association.
Okay.
We're still too early in you know, sort of the fight game to kind of solidify that, you know, as we get people contracts and guarantee fights. We've been talking about it. We do have some superstars that you know, are just really dedicated. And that's kind of what we see, you know. It's like, okay, someone might be a great MMA fighter, but if they show up and they're, you know, they're kind of half in the bag about pillow fighting or just whatever it is, then they're not going to be a good pillow fighter, because we've seen these, you know, we've had many fights, or many fighters that have had many fights now, and you can absolutely see that those fighters have a major advantage, because they, you know, they're like veterans now, and they've, you know, they know what to do, they know how to read the opponent, and you know, they're just better pillow fighters. So there's definitely a school of hard knocks, or soft knocks, school of soft knocks to be a great pillow fighter.
Man, that's awesome. So let's get to know a little about you guys. I mean, we'll start with you, Steven, or Steve. What's your background? Like, what is it that, you know, that you do?
I'm a general entrepreneur. You know, I have a couple companies that I run, telecom and real estate. So that's enabled me to pay the bills. We have a television production company as well. We produce a corporate environmentalism series called Earth with John Holden. You could see that on Fox Business Network about once a month on a Sunday. We feature, you know, what major corporations are doing to improve their process for the environment. And so I have television background. I used to be in a kind of music business. I was director of business development at The Box. I don't know if you heard Video Jukebox Network, but it ended up getting sold to Viacom and became MTV2.
I think I remember The Box.
Yeah, you could call a 900 number.
And you could request something, right? Yeah.
It's an interactive television network. So it's been a long career. In fact, when I got to the point where I wanted to expand PFC, I called Gary Jaffe, who used to work for me at The Box. He was a guy that did a lot of video production for me. Gary works for us now. He's our VP of production. And Gary had a few guys that he knew that he met throughout his life that he brought in. So we ended up with a really hardcore, you know, team of kind of veterans that we all knew each other. And, you know, for the most part. So in fact, Steven actually worked for us as a producer for Star Media, which is my other company, and was selling our Earth series. So that's how I met Steven Thorpe a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you can. So really, we got a pretty tight team. You know, your production is top notch, man. I mean, the first show that I saw, I was taken back by that. A lot of, you know, newcomers, they don't really have a lot of production value. They kind of learn as they go. And this event and the ones after that, they've been phenomenal as far as a production goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and it's going to get better too. We're gonna be stepping it up. We even have some enhancements for the pillow. We're working on a way to put a pressure sensor in there that will kind of score automatically as you hit, you know, as long as it's got a certain amount of air pressure. Because actually sometimes the hits are so fast, judges can't even keep up with it.
Right.
You know,
that right there is a good idea. Cause doesn't PFL do something like that? Where they have some kind of chip in their glove and they are able to score or keep track on the power and the speed and all of that. I think they have something like that. I don't remember.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I know there's an MMA promotion that has it, and I think it's PFL. I think they started off doing that.
I know, you know, people love the science, you know, and you think, like say, look at a pillow, you know, the size, you know, the length, width, girth, weight, centrifugal force, you know, the pounds per square inch, all this stuff that we could show these statistics on a screen, you know, as fights going on. And, you know, you could see when someone really gets whacked, like baseball, you know, when they show a 110 mile an hour fastball, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Mind boggling.
That's awesome, man. Right on. And you, Steven, give us a little bit about your background and you getting involved into PFC, man.
My latest side hustle was last Thursday night, actually as a judge. And I'm, you know, really happy to know that we will be coming out with pressure sensors. It was the most anxious. I'm not an anxious guy, you know, pretty just, you know, whatever. It was frightening, man, because, you know, you want to do your best job in everything you do. And I couldn't keep up. And it got to the point where, you know, I did my best and I was kind of like confirming my score, because, you know, looking over my left at the other judge to see if I was kind of on par. And I, you know, I wasn't oftentimes, but yeah, you know, it's anyway, you know, that said, I don't know, man, I worn a lot of hats, I think, to get me to this position, right? I don't believe that there's any coincidence in life. And, you know, when you're at a, you know, a brand, a company like ours that's moving so quickly, when, you know, you got 1,000 fastballs coming at, you know, you're pretty excited to get in the office, you know, by 7 and start my work and look at my task list and everything's good. And there's, you know, 20 fastballs that come after me, all of us, and I blink my eyes and it's like 8:30 at night. I'm like, oh, super, I get to start my work now. You know, that said, I think that, you know, it prepared us all. It prepared me for the role here, because you need to be nimble and you have to wear a lot of hats. I mean, that's from taking the garbage out to, you know, really just working as a team and doing what you have to do to make it happen and push the needle forward. You know, so that said, I'm actually an artist at heart, right? And, you know, I had these grandiose plans to work at art creative agencies. And then I was like, oh, I need an internship. And I got an internship and it was on the, you know, media planning and buying side. And I'm like, well, you know, this is cool. And I was like, yeah, I need to go into sales though. And that's what I did, right? And I started my career, actually, I was, you know, blessed with the opportunity at CBS Interactive, where I worked in a new kind of, you know, at the time, I mean, you know, at the time, I remember going to a Fox Upfront and saying, well, you know, the internet's a fad. And so it was exciting. And it was difficult. You know, it wasn't an easy sell, man. You know, I don't care what name you have behind you, because you have to educate, you know, your partners really on the product that you have. You know, nonetheless, I, you know, like I said, I like to color, you know, I say color outside the line. So what does that mean? It's just innovative, forward thinking, getting things done that haven't been done before, you know, taking a block of clay and molding it into something that both resonates either for your client, for the audience. If you're not having fun working, man, you're not living, right? So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I was in the sales and marketing arena, started a couple of startups of my own, and I found myself in Florida, which I never expected, and I was blessed to meet Steve, you know, and I was able to then learn an opportunity with branded content, you know, working with him on Earth, and, you know, we developed this fantastic relationship, and you know, here we are now. So it's been
that's
fun.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing, man. That how the two you guys, you know, the different worlds that y'all lived in, to bring you guys together, and now you brought PFC to the audience. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, something happened when we had our from the start of PFC One. I mean, I started it 3.5 years ago. You know, we were mostly fooling around with the development of the pillows for the first you know, for the first year and a half. And then we put it away for a year and a half from the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just being able to kind of put it away and not think about it for a while. Although now that things are rolling, I wish I had worked on it, you know, kept working all the way through the pandemic, because I didn't. But being able to sort of put it away and then go back with a fresh eye, you know, looking at things and then reworking it. And so, but ever since we had PFC1, it's just been like no resistance. Whatever it is we want to do, or if we want to work with somebody, people see what we're doing and they're like, yes. They just keep saying yes. And I've had quite a few startup companies, and you know, it's always no. Like, you just hear no, you know, for years, and sometimes you never hear yes, you know, in a startup business, you know, and then you fail. But you know, to finally get a yes, you know, your first yes, and you never always get a yes. But this thing is just yes, yes, yes. And yeah. I've never seen anything like it. So what it's done is given us a lot of confidence. And I tell everybody, I'm saying, guys, just assume they're going to say yes, because they are. So like, just go for it. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, it's like if you want to date like a really beautiful girl, and you know, you're the ugly guy in the corner that's never even been on a date, and to change your mind that you're going to go ask her out, and actually, you know, she's going to say yes. And she does. And that's how we feel. We feel like this big, you know, this ugly kid in the corner that we could never get a date, but we're getting it every time we, you know, we go ask her out. So it's crazy.
Yeah. We all love it. I mean, all of us here, we love PFC, man. It's we're into that type of stuff. I mean, yeah, we're hardcore with MMA and the kickboxing and boxing and Muay Thai and all the traditional combat sports. But we also like the quirky stuff, you know, the stuff that people think that's like, what are you talking about? You know, and here comes pillow fighting, and we're like, hell yes, let's go.
Yeah, like pride rule.
Brother, get into the ring for one round and tell me that's quirky when you're done.
Yeah, yeah. We're
talking to you, Roberto.
No, it's just a lot of people out there still don't understand the concept, you know, because it's still brand new.
Yeah.
But when they first see the video or a fight, their eyes just open up, you know, they're like, hell yeah, we want more.
Yeah, and then when you see like legitimate fighters in there, like Marcus Perez, Estela Nunez, going in there and competing, you know, it's cool. It's cool to watch, you know, it gives the people another connection.
Yeah, you can see the skill level of the, like you say, Estela and Marcus, Leo Alves. I mean, it's amazing. You can see these guys are trained and talented, and you can also see like their, you know, their martial arts background into the fight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
head movement. Now,
one of our first sponsors is soon going to be well, you know what, I almost going to spill the beans, but I'm not going to do it. I can't do it.
Almost, we were this close.
Yeah, I almost did it. It's going to be huge news. It's coming pretty soon. So
awesome.
Yeah, stay tuned for that one.
I can't wait, man. Yeah, it's been fun getting, you know, these articles with the guys out at Fight. Because like I said, you know, I know the guys out there, and they always hit me up. Hey, can you publish this article? You know, it's about pillow fighting. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to publish this. I was like, if no other website's going to do it, we're the website that's going to do it. So yeah. I right away, man, I was like, yeah, let's go. I'm going to publish this.
Over a month now, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Fight,
somehow down the line in our podcast, pillow fighting pops up in our conversation. So it's we're a fan. We are a true fan of your promotion, man.
Thank you. Yeah, we did a couple other podcasts, and they all told us that it was their highest rated show. So that's, you know, just blew us away.
Yeah. Well, you got something good, and it's just going to get a lot better. It's going to get huge. Y'all need to come here to Albuquerque and put on an event. David and I will be there, cage or ringside, whatever you guys use, and we'll be reporting the shit out of it. Awesome. I know there's a lot of fighters out here that would jump on it quick to do something like that.
That'll be great. We're gonna use Mark Miller as one of our judges, just to give him something to do.
Nah. Did you hear that, Mark?
Yeah, he doesn't nod off. I see him almost nodding off over here. He's like, all right.
Guys, he's a Canadian. He's out in Canada somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, he's high on that maple syrup.
Yeah.
He's got that lumberjack outfit on.
I know, right?
Roll up there.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, man, that's awesome. You guys have anything else for our guest tonight?
Yeah, no, we appreciate you guys coming on, sharing now I know, you know, the ins and outs, the inception of Pillow Fighting and PFC. Our listeners now know, they know where to go to find you guys, Fight TV, Fight Book MMA, leading up to like the event you guys said, the International Pillow Fighting Day. If you guys want us to do some interviews with some of your guys, let us know, get with Rob, get with Rudy, we'll make it happen, get them on the show, get it on the website and get it out there around the world.
That'll be super. Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks again, guys. Steven, you know, we've been talking almost every day, and I'm sure we're not going to stop talking every day.
Yeah, we'll keep it live.
Yeah, for sure, you know? Man, for sure.
And we promise you that we'll keep pumping out some pretty awesome content, you know, across all the platforms at Fight PFC, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Keep on
for
that.
For sure, man. I can't wait, man. I can't wait to watch the next huge event. And I know the guys here also, they can't wait. And I know now the fans are probably like, okay, we got to go to YouTube and check these guys out. So any shout outs you guys want to do? We always do this to our guests. You know, if you guys have any shout outs or anything that you guys want to say, go for it. Like, where can they find you? Social media, throw up, shoot, you know, tell us, everything.
Anywhere, Fight PFC, you know, at Fight PFC, any social media or fightpfc.com. We are going to have NBC did a very big article on us. It's going to be on the Today Show on April 1st. So that's a big deal. Actually, I don't know if that April 1st or April 2nd, Stephen.
April 1st. It's going to be a Friday.
April 1st. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then from there, we may get on the Tonight Show. We're kind of waiting for that because that's going to be big if we get on Fallon.
Oh yeah.
Get that trending.
What's that?
Let's get that trending.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's go. Give throw me whatever you guys need. Where'd he go?
Yeah.
We all know he wants to fight. He wants the pillow in his hands.
Well, I know Mark wants to get in on it, so.
Let's make it happen. You can sign up at fightpfc.com right there on the homepage.
Oh, yeah. You guys had over 1,200 people sign up like 2 hours after your event this Saturday, crazy. Right?
Yeah, it's crazy. We had 1,200 people, and we had almost 2 billion views of the content in the last 60 days. Not just on our own site, like Barstool Sports and Waze TV and House of Highlights and all these other networks. And you add it all up, it's mind-boggling.
Yep.
So we feel like we created a global brand. We've got we're negotiating with about 6 different countries right now to do, let's say, PFC UK, PFC Brazil. It's one of them. It's one other reason why I'm here. And to do all this now, just, you know, which really we started 6 months ago. It's hard.
I'm kind of tired.
The whole team's pretty beat up just from trying to manage it. So, but anyway, it's coming along. And in the meantime, we're still going to keep the content going because that's the main engine.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. A lot of promotions, man, and I can't stress this enough. You know, a lot of promotions, even the local promotions, they don't push enough content. They don't push enough articles. Like, they just don't. They just rely on their local fans. If you don't push articles out there, interviews or anything like that, you're never going to go anywhere. You know, so the more content you guys can push, the more articles you can push, the more that we can publish, you know, that we can show to our fans. I mean, the more is better. So yeah, like you said, you know, pushing those content, that's key right there.
Yeah. It's gonna be great content, you know, and yeah. I think that we're lucky to be in a time where we can, you know, begin thinking not only as ourselves as, you know, entertainment entity and a professional sports league and everything really, but, you know, also the fact that we can begin really thinking of ourselves as a almost as technology company, you know, whether mm-hmm. we're traditionally a tech company or not, because at the end of the day, you know, tech influences and certainly dictates how people engage with the sports they love, you know? So making sure that we continue to stay on the pulse. I mean, Steve has some pretty cool stuff up his sleeve, the team, and, you know, we don't sleep anymore, but we do have a lot of fun.
y'all need to get an energy drink or a coffee sponsor.
Yeah, by all means.
Right. Real quick, we have some people in the chat here. They're saying that there was this a nice interview. It rocked. PFC, Joe Gray says, PFC is awesome. Keep it moving forward. Kendall Volker. She's been commenting like crazy on the chat too. So yeah, shout out to all you guys that are, you know, throwing some comments on here. So yeah. So there you
Kendall,
go. You guys,
Kendall gives far better interview than we will. So you guys shut up.
Hey, Kendall, I know you're listening. Hit me up. We'll get you on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll get that interview done.
She's amazing. And she's right. A well-trained fighter, and you could get that whole, you know, fighter aspect from her. She's hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
in fact, she will be fighting in the backyard. Was it BYBK event in Biloxi? Yeah. In Biloxi. I believe it's in May. That'll be the next event. So she's going to be doing a pillow fight in that event. So you got bare knuckles and pillow fighting in the same event. That's going to be unbelievable. Right.
That's a Data 5000's promotion, right?
The yeah.
BYB? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Man, I can't wait. I can't wait till y'all come to Albuquerque.
Great.
That's just, yeah. I just can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
It is.
Right on. Well, guys, thanks so much for jumping on and hanging out with us here at Sitting Ringside. We really do appreciate it. Steven, I'll probably be talking to you again tomorrow.
I hope so.
And Mr. Williams, thanks again as well for jumping on all the way to Brazil. You know, making that happen. So really do appreciate it. This won't be the last time you guys are going to jump on our show. We would love to have you guys back on here in the near future. Okay.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Solid. Once again, Roberto.
We have the
best guest ever.
I wish my throat wasn't fucking up on me the whole time.
You were falling asleep the whole time?
No, my throat. That's why I was on you.
Would help you? A red or blue pillow to the head.
A pink pillow to the head.
Yeah, pink pillow.
The X pillow to the fucking dome.
No, my throat was bugging me, so I was trying to like clear it, but I was trying to mute it and not like fucking cough in the fucking mic. Mm. Just looked bad, and I'm sorry. So I apologize.
Yeah, whatever.
Put some
bricks
in that pillowcase.
Hey, but you know what? Those guys were the bomb.
Yeah,
they were.
In case you didn't know, yeah, PFC, they pretty much gave us the rundown from inception. COVID kind of slowed them down, which it did fucking slow down the entire world, but they got full steam ahead, and it sounds like they got, I mean, like Rudy has mentioned, production. I've seen it. Really great production. You're going to see some crazy names, I think, involved. And good sponsor. You're talking about getting on Jimmy Fallon. They're doing some big things over there.
Yeah, this last event was pretty good, man. I missed it. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to watch it. It was on a Thursday last week.
They replayed it on their YouTube channel, right?
Yeah. They had Marcus the Joker Perez fighting some little dude, and Stella Nunez. They had some names that I recognize, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go back and watch the replays, it's pretty cool, man. You can go to their website, fightpfc.com, and you can check out some highlights.
Yep. That was fun. These guys were awesome. And then their background, man. That's that right there to me was just amazing of what they did.
It up right now. Look at this.
Yes.
Look at how big he is, man. And here's Estela Nunez fighting. And you could tell, man, like the actual athletes compared to people, just random people.
Oh, he does. Look at this. That dude looks tiny.
Yeah, man.
Oh, there's Estela right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is it's fun, man. I enjoyed watching it, you know, kill some time watching this event. And I don't know, man. I remember when you told me about it, I was like, yeah, I'm excited about that. I want to watch that.
Right.
And I did watch it, and I was like, this is awesome. I think it probably wouldn't have as much of an impact if the production wasn't on par, bro. You know, it's
dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Their production,
problems, it would have been. I don't think people would have enjoyed it as much. But yeah, dude, it was really cool, dude. Really awesome. I'm glad to see it.
And I'm glad that my buddy out there and Fight, he was like, hey, I know this is not, you know, something that you guys publish, but do you think you can publish this article for Pillow Fighting? Dude, the first thing I responded on email was, fuck yes.
Of course.
I published that shit and it took off, man. And then I told you guys about it, and
I love shit like that, you know, like
right?
Remember the super fights?
Yeah.
You know, super fights and fucking fight circus. I like shit like that, man. Just, you know, it has to do with combat sports. It's just a little different variation of it.
I'll watch it if it's combat sports.
I'll watch it, man. I want to see, you know, a 500-pound guy fight, you know, a 120-pound dude with pillows.
Yeah, like Hasbulla versus
exactly, dude.
Hasbulla, dude, that would be something amazing to have on their one of their events. Is Hasbulla against the cringe?
And then they can have their first intergender match. They could have a man versus a woman.
Yeah, you know, because it's just pillows.
And you know what? We can even take it up.
Greg Hardy, here you come.
Pillow fight.
Greg Hardy is ready for Greg Hardy and Fallon Fox. There you go.
Yeah,
pillow fight.
Fallon Fox.
Yeah. Hey, anything can happen, man. It's just pillows.
Jimmy Fallon versus Fallon Fox. Fight to the Fallons.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No. It was amazing, though.
Yo,
amazing,
bike
amazing
truck idea. That's insane. If you go,
dude, that, I've never seen that before.
Yeah,
that is amazing. When you pulled that up, I was like, "What the fuck is this shit? This is fucking badass." Like, could you imagine you see this ginormous semi and it starts transforming to a fucking cage with lights and shit? Like, what the? Yeah, that right there is dope.
Yeah,
hey, but $1 million though.
Do you think the main boss, like when once you get to the main boss, it's the My Pillow guy?
I don't know.
You know, they should make a PFC video game, dude, and the My Pillow.
Oh, that would be dope as fuck.
I would play that shit.
I'll play that shit.
I play that shit VR style.
That'd be awesome, VR style. You so clock someone up beside you though. You have to have like clear space because I would so knock someone like silly. I'd be like, where's Marty? Whack! There goes my shit. Ah, shit. Sorry.
But in case you didn't know, people that are listening to the show, wherever you're at, if you didn't know about PFC, there you go. You pretty much got the full rundown on this podcast. So check them out.
Yep. Yes, sir. All right. Well, we only got a little bit of time. Let's do the quick grade of last week's UFC event. What did you guys grade the event, guys?
Rudy Lara.
I gave it an 8, man. It was good. I enjoyed the event in its entirety, except the main event. Again, it kind of fizzled out.
That was a fucking event. Chicken club sandwich.
Yeah, man. That,
oh,
that,
my God, dude.
It was on track to be almost a perfect event, in my opinion, because it was just – they were great fights, man. Great fights. Drew Dober, dude, I don't know how he won that fight, ended up beating Terrence McKinney. He was getting his ass beat. Alex Pereira, I didn't think he was going to go drawn out to a unanimous decision win. Khalil Roundtree – insane, bro.
He just dude, Khalil? Holy shit,
Song
bro.
Song Yadong, bro. Oh, my God.
Oh my God, bro.
The opening card was awesome, except for that that last fight. And then Semelsberger was great. J.J. Aldrich just dominating Jillian Robertson. Basharat, he beat the shit out of Jones. Damon Jackson with that crazy sub. Miranda Maverick had a sub the second round. Cody Brundage. I didn't think he was going to win that fight, but he did, bro, in the first round submission against Lugambula. And Chris Moutinho got his ass beat by Guido Canetti.
Another stand-up TKO.
That dude is what, TKO 43 years old. He's my age, bro, and he just fucking.
Dude, that guy looks fucking solid.
Mac fucking.
Yeah.
Fucking old man.
I mean, this event, it was top-notch, and I was saying it. I remember I posted, if you haven't seen this event, if you're missing this event, you're really missing out. And then the main event happened, and I was like, now I look
stupid. You know, I'd have to say a 6.9 if the main event delivered, maybe a 7, because, yeah, there was some fucking legit performances. I mean, man, never will count out Javed Basharat again. That guy's a fucking killer. Song Yadong, maybe he does get Dominic Cruz, but I think Uriah Faber was over there telling him, you know, we got to call out Dominic Cruz, the whole Team Alpha Male Alliance. So, but yeah, Song Yadong.
I don't think Sadiq Youssef won that fight. I think that that fight went to
Alex.
It was a very close fight, man. Very close fight.
Yeah, it was.
But I don't know, man. It could have gone either way. I'm not mad at it, but I honestly gave that fight to Gassadez. And I think he got kind of robbed in a way.
Dude, and what a way to start the event with that fucking flying knee TKO.
Yeah, that guy's a murderer, too. Yeah, the Mrazakhanov.
Dude, I was like, what the fuck? And then it just kept going. Another finish. Another finish. Another finish. Another finish. Then three decisions, but they were very good fights to end up in a decision. Mm-hmm. You know, so like the whole preliminary card was just the bomb. Then you come up like
the main event.
Ankalaev versus Santos. If you go and you made a fucking, you could have turned on your grill, wait till it warmed up, throw your burgers there, whatever that you're gonna cook, and then you go back and you see the decision, you ain't gonna miss shit.
Thank goodness for Azamat Mrazakhanov, the first fight. Because honestly, like, we're talking about him now, I don't think anybody picked Njekwe to win the fight. But low-key, this guy might fuck around and fight the top guys at 205 in maybe a year and a half time. You know, performances like that, Dana White loves it. He'll be high up on a card next time you see that guy out there, for sure.
Dude, for sure, he would probably main event a preliminary card next. Easy. Yeah. Easy. And if he has another performance like that, main card status, bro.
Give him Gustafson next. Doesn't he need a fight?
Yeah, he does. Let's go.
Yeah.
UFC, I know you're listening. Yeah. But
since we are short on time, we'll transition to UFC London.
Yes.
We could do the main card unless you guys want to do a quick run through the prelims.
Let's talk about Lara. The fight poster, man. It's a
yes.
All right, man. I mean,
it's okay.
They're starting to get a little better, man. They're listening to us, bro. They really are.
Yep.
I would give this what, like a 6? It's decent.
Yeah. I was gonna say a 7, but you know what, man? It looks pretty good. It kind of gives me that Japanese feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though they're fighting in London, I mean, but. Everything looks good, man.
But I think they reworked it, because wasn't Aspinall supposed to fight like Abdurakhimov? I thought I seen a different version of this, but
It was supposed to be Shamil Abdurakhimov was supposed to be against Aspinall, but that got you know, fizzled away. So you're right. I think they did have to.
Yeah. No, I'll give it a 4. I can make this poster on my phone.
Oh, but, that's funny.
Well, I don't know. The card, low key, some killer ass fights. So, like I said, if we got time, do the main card. But
let's do a quick pick on the prelims, and we'll start from the bottom. Just a quick, who we got? So go for
Muhammad
it, David.
Versus Mokaev, Cody Durden, and it's Muhammad Mokaev versus Cody Durden, right?
Yeah.
Mokaev.
Yeah, Mokaev, but Cody Durden's a tough bastard, a guy you don't want to count out. Boy, Jimmy Flick, submission of the year, got him good, but he is a tough guy. Mokaev by decision.
Yeah, I got Mokaev by decision. It's his debut, and he's 6-0, and we're going to find out why.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Mokaev.
Okay, next.
Corey McKenna versus Elise Reed.
McKenna.
Which fight of the night?
I think so, but I'm still gonna pick McKenna's decision.
Yeah, I got McKenna by submission.
I've got McKenna by knockout.
I've got Elise Reed by weight. I'm just kidding. I got
Tabernak.
But next up, this fight's kind of buried on the prelims. I don't know why. Jack Shore is a straight killer. The guy's never like 29-0 overall with his amateur career against Timur Valiyev, a guy who's a fucking, you know, a beast himself. So this is a really dope fight early on, third fight of the night. I'm going to go with Jack Shore, man, but Timur Valiyev got the volume. He's going to make him work for it. Jack Shore on the fight.
Yep. I got Jack Shore, unanimous decision.
Yeah, I'm going Jack Shore, man.
Mark?
Same.
Okay.
The next fight is the fight that I'm looking forward to, man. That's
going to be fuck yeah, night. Dude.
Nikita Krylov versus Paul Craig.
Where the fuck is it on the prelims for?
And this should be a main card fight.
Exactly. This should be possibly a main card Coleman fight. Even.
I mean, yeah. Because Paul Craig, like, has he ever, like, lost a fight through a decision? It's always either he gets killed or he's murdering somebody. So somebody's getting finished here. Krylov has been known to be submitted. I think his only loss is from submission. And what does Paul Craig do? He chokes motherfuckers out and breaks your arm.
Paul Craig. Yep. Paul Craig. I'm going to say Paul Craig by submission, second round.
Yep.
Yeah, knockout, second round, Paul Craig. I'm going to lock it in on that ball.
Nice.
Yep. Next up, Shamil Abdurakhimov was supposed to be the main event. He's fighting Sergey Pavlovich, a guy who got beat by Alistair Overeem, got beat up pretty bad, came back. Is he on a 2-5 win streak, 3-5 win streak? So the big boy is Russian on Russian crime right here.
I got the Russian.
I don't got any of them. It's a draw. I stand with Ukraine.
And then the judges, it goes to the judges and it's close. Draw.
Draw.
But draw. Pavlovich, though, I think he'll gas Abdurakhimov. Always questionable in the cardio. I think he'll get beat up, man. Pavlovich, for sure.
Okay.
The main event of the prelims up next, Mike Grundy against Makwan Amirkhani. Some wrestling action going on in this fight.
Yeah, this is going to be boring. Dude. Grundy's going to just freaking grind this guy down.
Either way, whoever takes whoever down, they're just going to be a blanket. You know, it's just another wrestling match. So, yeah, it's whatever.
Better wrestler. Amirkhani, I have a feeling he could just maybe get some crazy random knockout in the second round. I'm going to lock that as my pick for Tapology.
I'm going Mike Grundy decision.
Mike Grundy. Yep.
Yep. All right. We are to the main. Main card now, man, Ilya Topuria getting into it with Paddy Pimblett, huh? Maybe at a later date, those guys will Topuria moving up to 55. I think last time he had a fight canceled because he couldn't fucking make 145 anymore. But Jai Herbert,
Jordan fight, canceled?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah. But 55 at Topuria, I don't know, man. 55 is a shark tank, just like 45, but. Jai Herbert looked impressive last time. Who did he knock out of the UFC cold?
Let's
It was impressive, though. It was nasty, too. So he definitely looked good on the feet, but Topuria is probably going to grind him, though, take him down, beat him up. It'd be an upset for Herbert, but he's going to have a lot of support up there. I got Topuria by decision.
Yeah, Topuria, man, for sure. He's going to come in. You know, hopefully, you know, moving up a weight class is not going to slow him down a lot, because I really don't know how much he has to cut weight. I'm picking Topuria, man.
Yeah, Jai Herbert knocked out Kama Worthy. That's who I was thinking of. Because, yeah, I think Kama.
Kama Worthy.
Yeah, I think he stiffed us on an interview one time, too. So, but.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Karma.
Yeah, man. So, oh, wow. We have Topuria. Until somebody beats that cat, he's a straight killer. 55 might be the perfect weight class for him. We shall see. Moving on, another. Some home cooking. Molly McCann against Louisiana, Carolina.
Just because I have to pick, I'm going with Molly McCann.
Knockout?
No, decision.
Yeah, I think a decision in Molly McCann. I think she probably will be better on the feet, though. Carolina, yeah, if she gets taken down, Molly McCann's pretty good there, too. And she's going to want to show out with their teammate, Patty Pimblett. So maybe both of them can pull out the wins. But McCann, I got her chiseled in right now. Mark?
McCann.
Okay.
I'm going with a meatball.
The meatball?
You know what? Bro, I really like her walkout song to be On Top of Old Smokey.
Oh, it's that song? Oh, man.
I lost my poor meatball. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
I remember that shit in 30 years, yeah. But,
okay, Rudy.
An awesome walkout song for her, huh?
Yeah.
Gonna walk out to the pyramids. No. Moving on the main card, a guy we haven't seen in like 5 years. I didn't know. He looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Have you guys seen his pre-fight interview with Gunnar Nelson?
Gunnar Nelson? Yeah, he does.
Gunnar Nelson's fighting? Shit.
Yeah, Takashi Sato, which is a pretty good matchup for him, but. Ooh. The guy looks like fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin. Go and check his pre-fight interview.
Yeah. Dude, Sato, when was the last time he fought?
It wasn't that long ago.
Okay. It wasn't, right? I'm trying to figure out who he fought.
He fought a killer, though. He fought Baeza.
It was against Baeza.
Baeza, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, he gave him a decent fight because Baeza just took like his first loss, and that guy's a killer too, man. Trained with the king of Miami, Colby Covington. So,
and before that, but... he had beat Jason Witt in June of that year.
Awesome.
I don't know. Gunnar Nelson, I'm just going to flip a coin and sue whatever. Heads or tails. Gunnar heads, Sato tails, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know.
I don't care for the fight, honestly. This is probably the sandwich right here.
two sandwiches of the night, right? This is the second one.
This is brisket.
This is the brisket.
I'm gonna go with Gunnar Nelson.
Yeah, same here.
I'm gonna go with Sato. Going with Sato this fight.
No. I'm moving on the main card, the premier fight of the night, the people's main event, Patty Pimblett against Rodrigo Vargas. Rodrigo's looking to stop the hype, man. Pimblett's probably gonna have. That building rock in the O2 is going to be pumping like it was with Biz being walking out type shit. So we shall see. It's hard to pick guys in their backyard. I'm not really one to do that. You guys know that. But I'd like to see Vargas piece him up. I would.
I have to pick with my raza. I'm going with the Mexicano.
Yeah.
Rodrigo Vargas. I got him winning, man. Because Pimblett, the way Pimblett fights, man, it's like he keeps that chin up. He has his hands always down. He's always straight. Maybe that's just his style. But to do that against Rodrigo, better watch out, man.
I know our boy Scott McKinnon's excited to see Patty Pimblett come back.
Oh, yeah. You know Scott. That's his boy.
Yeah.
That's Patty Pimblett's his boy.
Patty wins, Scott. Yeah, if Patty wins, Scott, you got to get the Pimblett haircut. But I don't know. Yeah. I'd like to see Vargas upset him, but yeah, I'm going to pick Patty Pimblett on Tapology. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, Patty the Batty.
Yeah.
Yeah, Coleman, I think I'm going to pick Patty Pimblett on this one.
I can't be, I'm not a fan of his, man. I can't. Even when he was fighting, with Cage Warriors, I was just like, meh.
Yeah. Same.
I just hate the Von Erichs. Just admit it.
Stop that.
Wow. You hate He-Man. Just admit it.
Hey, He-Man was my hero growing up, okay?
Oh, yeah. He-Man's a shit. Things are worth like a fortune now.
Speaking of He-Man, our boy Isaac Valley Flag is probably going to be in the new He-Man movie that's getting filmed here in Albuquerque.
Man at Arms.
I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe be a stunt double, do something. But I think he's going to be
Orko
in the movie. Orko.
Isaac's going to be Orko. That'd be fucked up.
All right, next.
We're on to the co-main event. Dan Hooker fighting at 145 against Arnold Allen. Dan Hooker cutting a lot of weight down there. So I don't know. We'll see about weighing tomorrow, though, too. So also factor in, you know, hopefully everybody makes weight. You know, there's no fucking bullshit. Fights get canceled at the last second. I think, what was that fight? Did they cancel the Nathaniel Wood fight? Because we're looking at Tapology cheat sheet right now. But Nathaniel Wood looked like way too fucking depleted. I don't know if they canceled that bout.
Yeah, Shalanian withdrew.
Yep.
Nathaniel Wood versus Ludovic Shalanian.
I seen Nathaniel Wood fight in person when Dodson knocked him out. And then he came back, won a couple bouts, and then looking completely fucking shredded and depleted. And I didn't know that fight was officially canceled. So, but we got, like I said, Dan Hooker, Arnold Allen. Arnold Allen's been fucking blazing through everybody too, and he's fighting a tough Dan Hooker, but at 45, I don't know. This is a tricky one to pick here.
I'm picking Allen. Just for the fact that Dan Hooker is coming down in weight and he's got to drop a lot of weight. So that could always play a factor in the fight. So I'm picking Allen.
Yeah, Arnold Allen's on like a 12-fight winning streak too. He's been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He's been sparking people out. Should I remember he fought? What is it? Yeah, Gilbert Melendez. Yeah, I remember that fight. It was a pretty close fight. Nick Lentz gave him a pretty good war, but he's in there for to the end. You know what I mean? So if Dan Hooker, the later the fight goes, he's in trouble, man. If Hooker's going to win the fight, it might be something early, some kicks or something crazy like that. But to knock off a guy on a 12-fight streak, this is a big stage for Arnold Allen, and I think he delivers.
Yep.
It's also a big stage for Dan Hooker. He might be dropping a lot of weight, but there's a huge significant size advantage, man. He's 6 foot. I think Allen is, 5'8"? And the reach advantage, he's got a 5-inch reach advantage, bro.
That's true. Yeah,
that's going to be a huge factor, especially the way Dan Hooker fights, man. He kind of keeps you out of range, and if you get too close, he'll start piecing you up with those elbows and shit.
He had a big reach advantage against Michael Chandler. That didn't work out well for him, so I think Arnold Allen can do the same thing.
Yeah, he can, man. But I don't know. I'm not buying into him. I think Dan Hooker's gonna. He's going to do his thing and piece him up, bro.
It's
going to be a good fight.
Hell yeah.
All right, main event time. Alexander Drago Volkov against Tom Aspinall, who's been putting these bars with Tyson Fury, right? And those are his peeps up there. So pretty sure Tyson Fury more than likely may be in the building that night too as well. So
probably.
Yeah. Starting with you, Rob, man, who do you got? The main event.
I'm going to pick Volkov, bro, even though Tom Aspinall has been training with the great, you know, boxing legend. I'm sure he's helped him a lot with his hands. And but, you know, Volkov, he's a tough bastard, man. He's mean. So I'm going to go with Volkov.
Rudy, what do you think?
Dude, Aspinall has just been on a tear, man, to be quite honest with you. He's looked great in the last couple of fights. I think his last four fights, all his fights have been
finishes.
Wins, KOs, one submission against Arlovsky, of all people. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And Volkov, I mean, he hasn't really done too much. the last fight, it was a unanimous decision against Tybura. He lost against Gon.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Volkov. But that was in February 2021. I don't know, man. It's a dangerous fight for Aspinall. I think Aspinall has more to gain than to lose here. And
yeah.
I don't know. I think he's going to ride that fight streak into a victory. I think it's going to be some kind of vicious finish.
Yeah, I better not continue the trend of fucking sandwich main events, and I don't think it will.
No. Oh, no. I don't think these guys are going to. Yeah. Yeah, it's
Aspinall wants to get in there and get a finish. Volkov's not an easy guy to get out of there, but I don't think it goes five rounds. Got Tom Aspinall for the win.
Oh, fuck me, guys. This event starts at 12:30 Central Standard Time. So
yeah, it starts at 11 in the morning in New Mexico.
get your tea and crumpets ready Saturday.
Day drinking for Mark. No.
Yeah, this is
my birthday this weekend, so I'll be drinking all weekend. Fuck that shit.
There you go. This is a super early event, which means it's going to end early. So that gives you freedom for Saturday night to go and hang out with the wife or girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever. Or watch more fights.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. You know, speaking of fights, I didn't even do my rundown starting the show. There's a lot of fights, man. So if
and if you're not watching all of them, tweeting about every round and every second around the clock, you're not a real fan.
Right. So let me do a quick rundown. So starting tomorrow, we have CFFC 106, Smith versus Artist. March 18th, the next. So there's 10 events happening this weekend starting tomorrow. March 18th, Glory Kickboxing 80, Cage Warriors 134, PFL Challenger Series 5, Subs on the Shore, Houston 2022, live on Fight. Then on March 19th, the next three events are going to be live on Fight TV. It's Combat Night Orlando. Then you have MFC 8 St. Patty's Day Showdown, Ultimate Legends, the rematch. And then obviously we have UFC Fight Night 204 and Ryzen FF 34 on Sunday. And then for boxing, we have 7 events, starting with March 18th in Dubai. Estela Yoka Mosley versus Yanina del Carmen Lescano. And then we have Rockin' Fights, 410 leg, Ukrainian Pitbull Davin versus Jeram Elohim. I don't know if I said that right. That's going to be live on Fight. And then on March 19th in New York, live on ESPN Plus, Edgar Berlanga versus Steve Rolls. Also on the 19th, live on DAZN in Los Angeles, Alex Rocha versus Blair Cobbs. And in Kyoto, Japan, this is a title fight, Masamichi Yabuki versus Kenshiro Teraji. They're fighting for Yubiki's WBC junior flyweight title. Also in Dubai, another title fight, Sonny Edwards versus Mohamed Wasim. They're fighting for Edwards' IBF flyweight title. Then to finish off the 19th that night in London, David Avanesyan versus Oscari Metz. So there you go. Quick rundown on what events are happening around the world. And like David says, if you're not watching, tweeting, and recapping every single fight on these events, you're not a true fan.
Exactly. Always and forever.
Right on.
Next week we have the world famous Ken Shamrock.
Yes, my boss. He will be coming on.
Dollar BK time next Thursday night. So
yeah, buddy, I can't wait. We're actually going to be the first podcast that he's going to be on after we make the announcement of the full fight card next week. So that's a huge plus for us because we got the full insight with Ken. Even though I already know the insight, but still, you know, having Ken on the show again because we've already had him on the show once. And then to have him back on to talk about VPK 2, that's going to be badass. So the legendary Ken is going to be on next Thursday night. And yeah, guys, awesome show tonight. You know, shout outs to the guys at PFC. You know, they were pretty awesome and amazing to get to know them and to get to know their promotion. Yeah, so thanks, guys, for another badass Thursday night. Yeah, so David, you know what to do, brother.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in live. If you're watching, listening, if you want this podcast audio form, just go to any podcast platform, Sitting Ringside, Bike Book MMA. Like, subscribe, share, show us love, comment, tell us how we're doing. Shout out to the boys over at Chops Heads. They're showing love, too, over there. Go check them out. If you want all the latest combat sports news around the world, around the clock, you go to fightbookmma.com. That's the spot. And before we let this show close out, you got to remember, hard work pays off, dreams come true, bad times don't last, but bad guys do. Yes. We are Sitting Ringside, episode 24. We out. Enjoy the fight.
Awesome show, fellas. Hey, Rudy, thanks for doing this. I'm here on vacation. Have a good night. Later.